Thanks for joining us online at Highland Park Presbyterian Church. We're so glad you're here. On this podcast, you'll hear weekly teaching from God's Word, featuring messages from our incredible preaching staff and a variety of guest speakers. We hope the following message leaves you feeling encouraged and deepens your relationship with Christ. Enjoy the episode, and thanks for listening.
Well, today's scripture reading comes from Acts chapter 13. Verses 1 to 12, hear God's word. Now in the church at Antioch, there were prophets and teachers: Barnabas, Simeon called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." So after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off. The two of them, sent on their way by the Holy Spirit, went down to Seleucia and sailed from there to Cyprus. When they arrived at Salamis, they proclaimed the word of God in the Jewish synagogues. John was with them as their helper. They traveled through the whole island until they came to Paphos. There they met a Jewish sorcerer and a false prophet named Bar-Jesus, who is an attendant of the proconsul, Sergius Paulus. The proconsul, an intelligent man, sent for Barnabas and Saul because he wanted to hear the word of God. But Elymas, a sorcerer, for that is what his name means, opposed them and tried to turn the proconsul from the faith. Then Saul, who is also called Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, looked straight at Elymas and said, "You are a child of the devil and an enemy of everything that is right. You are full of all kinds of deceit and trickery. Will you never stop perverting the right ways of the Lord? Now the hand of the Lord is against you. You are going to be blind for a time, not even able to see the light of the sun." Immediately mist and darkness came over him, and he groped about, seeking someone to lead him by the hand. When the proconsul saw what had happened, he believed, for he was amazed at the teaching about the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Tyler. Good morning. I'm going to pray real quick and we'll get right to it. Let's pray. Lord God, we just thank you for this morning. Thank you for those that are here. Thank you for the work that has been done throughout this week, caring for families that are navigating waters that no one wants to chart. Thank you for the way that the staff has ministered and the city has ministered and the nation has prayed. Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, you are our strength and our redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, my name, as Tyler said, is Will McCall, and I am a pastoral fellow. I'm one of three. I think they made that up for the old guys that they had to give something to do, but I'm all for it. And let me say thank you, Highland Park Pres, as I'm standing here. You are great partners and friends to Dallas Leadership Foundation. So thank you so much. So I'm going to get right into it. We have this series about the Holy Spirit. And we're going through Acts. And the book of Acts primarily is focused on the first century church and how it went about to spread the good news and how they engaged different cultures while making disciples. Traditionally, the book has been called Acts of the Apostles. But Dr. Tim Mackey of the Bible Project, and if you haven't used him, that's a great thing in the YouVersion Bible. He believes that a more accurate name for the book would be Acts of Jesus and the Holy Spirit, because Jesus is acting directly and indirectly throughout the book of Acts. He unifies the entire story from beginning to end. Jesus makes the process of salvation crystal clear in John 14, where he says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me, underscoring what Dr. Mackey was asserting. Many break the book up into three parts. Acts chapters 1-7, where the disciples, Peter and John, are proselytizing the Jews in Jerusalem. So that's section one. Section two takes us to the Jews in Judea and Samaria, mainly, again, John and Peter. And then we are at the third section, and that's where we're going to start today in chapter 13, where we take a shift from the Jews to the Gentiles. And doing that, you know, taking the gospel to the ends of the earth is not something simple. So when we look at this, Paul or Saul at this point and Barnabas are being called to go out, to go away from the motherland, go away from the mothership in Jerusalem. They've actually been pushed out because of persecution, but they're still going out. And to do ministry, to do the Holy Spirit work, you have to sacrifice. So they're giving up. They're giving up their time with their family. They're giving up their treasure because the money that could be used at home, they're going to be using it for away. And they're giving up their talent. Because Saul and Barnabas are two of the best at the church in Antioch. And they're going to send them out. Taking the gospel to people experience the world is very different. People who have a different background understand the gospel differently than some of us. And so part of our work is knowing how to present the gospel according to their culture. But it isn't just presenting the gospel. We struggle at times with connecting with people that we live with. Has anybody ever had to live, work, or serve someone who sees the world differently than you? Check out this video.
First there was PlayStation, aka PS1. Then there's PS2, PS3, and now PS4. And that makes sense. You'd think after Xbox, there'd be Xbox 2. But no. Next came Xbox 360. Hmm? And now, after 360, comes Xbox One. Why one? Maybe that's how many seconds of thought they put into naming it.
Can you get the butter, please?
You know, however, with the Xbox One, I can control my entire entertainment system using voice commands. Up until now, I've had to use Leonard.
Then get the other one. Pass the butter.
Hang on. I don't feel like you're taking this dilemma seriously.
Fine, Sheldon. You have my undivided attention.
Okay, now, the PS4 is more angular and sleek looking.
No way!
It's true, but the larger size of the Xbox One may keep it from overheating.
You wouldn't want your gaming system to overheat?
No, see, well, you absolutely would not. And furthermore, the Xbox One now comes with a Kinect included.
Included?
Yes. Not sold separately. Although the PS4 uses cool new GDDR5 RAM, while the Xbox One is still using the conventional DDR3 memory.
Why would they still be using DDR3? Are they nuts?
See, that's what I thought. But then they go and throw in an ES RAM buffer.
Who is it? Who's they?
The Xbox.
You're kidding!
No, I am not! This ES RAM buffer should totally bridge the 100 gigabit per second bandwidth gap between the two RAM types.
This is a nightmare! How will you ever make a decision?
You see, I don't know. What should I do?
Please pass the butter!
We've all had the please pass the butter moments where we're all about ourselves and missing what was right before us. Part of ministry is handling those situations with some depth and understanding. Now, I'm going to tell you a true story. And this true story is, it's true, and the names have been changed to protect and reduce the embarrassment of a program leader. So let's say this ministry leader named Macaulay Nottawill. Macaulay Nottawill was called to work with his youth. And so the youth worker, the youth director, had to be out of town, and he had a Saturday youth service for 10 to 15 year old boys and girls. But Macaulay Nottawill was not that great with youth, but the youth director felt, this is fine. I'll give him the lesson plan. I'll tell him exactly what to do. It's simple. He has done ministry forever. He will not mess this up. Unfortunately, Macaulay Nottawill did not have and did not understand the culture and the norms of 10 to 15-year-olds, because he expected that they would sit and look at him with their hands on the table. He expected that they would not even have their telephones in the session. And he absolutely expected that they would not be scrolling through their phones while he's talking to them, waxing eloquent on this great lesson plan. And they did, and they were talking, and there's a point where Macaulay Nottawill allowed his strength finder's D to overtake his strength finder's I and start giving real strong direction. And he kind of scolded the kids and the parents that brought them. Wasn't good. So Macaulay Nottawill also had two sons there, not a Timothy and not a Trey, and they were very embarrassed. He could see that he had messed up. There's nothing worse than having a moment where your kids have to do an intervention. A ministry intervention. And the thing is, we can't do ministry well because no matter our positions, no matter our plans, even our experience, we can't do ministry well without the power of the Holy Spirit. And the Lord's final words before he left this world, before he ascended into heaven, he said this in Acts 1:8. But you will receive the power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all of Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. To minister to anyone, to minister to a family, to minister to a family across the world in a village, the one thing we all need is the Holy Spirit. Amen? It's all right. You can say amen. And so I think the text suggests that Spirit-filled worship is the gateway to transformative missions. So why do we need a Holy Spirit to direct us to in our ministry efforts? First, the text shows us we need the Holy Spirit to direct our efforts for worship that ensures preparation. So in the first three verses, we see that the church in Antioch, they were there with prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, called Niger, Lucius, of Cyrene, Manion, and Saul. But all these five guys are very different. Barnabas is a Jewish Christian. Simon, Simeon, called Niger, is a black African from sub-Saharan Africa, and he's a Gentile. Lucius is a Greek, is a Hellenistic Jew. And we know from Acts 6 that sometimes the Hellenistic Jews and the other Jews were struggling. Hellenistic Christians and the others were struggling because of cultural differences. And then we have Manaen, who lived in the household of Herod, the Herod dynasty that did several things. First, Herod dynasty set up when Jesus was born, the Herod dynasty were killing babies to try to get to Jesus. The Herod dynasty beheaded John. The Herod dynasty persecuted the first century church. The Herod dynasty killed James by the sword. And the Herod dynasty actually put Peter in jail. And this guy is a cousin and a part and a family member to the Herod dynasty. It's kind of like having Lex Luthor's cousin join the Super Friends. You just would never feel comfortable with that. But because they worshiped together, because they spent time together, because they fasted together, they got beyond their past, beyond their struggles, and they found a way to hear from the Lord. So when we try to go beyond the culture, when we try to go beyond the people we know, the first thing we do need to do is we need to learn how to worship together. We need to learn how to pray with each other and even fast together. And that's exactly what they did. So the unity that they had, the unity that they had, even though there should have been disunity, was a part of their power. And the beauty of that is those five were different, but we have five differences here. They had Jerusalem. We have Highland Park Prez. And at Highland Park Prez, we have All Nations, Mandarin Chinese Church, Peak Street Church, Grace Church Lake Highlands, and Good Shepherd. All of our churches are a little different. Isn't it nice to walk around this campus and see different people, people from different backgrounds, different viewpoints, some more stark than others? Because it's not just us, but our connection to, you know, Good Shepherd Oak Cliff. I was there. I'm down with Good Shepherd Oak Cliff. But they wear sandals more than I would wear them. Because that's the vibe. And so, but it's not the way we show up in how we look or even how we dress. It's a way we call on the same God, the way we have one spirit, one hope, one baptism. And when we have that, we can transform the world. That's exactly what's happening here with the church in Antioch. So this app, how we approve this or how we look at this together is, see, like the church in Antioch, our diversity uniquely positions us to take the gospel to the ends of the earth. That's what we're doing, thankfully, here at this church. All three can be done and in community. All things, prayer, fasting, and worship. See, whenever women and men give themselves to the disciplines that attune the body to hunger for the spirit, they will find themselves receptive to the voice of God, and they will hear the Spirit speaking and offer, and it's the speaking and offering guidance. Professor Willie James Jennings, he lets us know that fasting is not that far. It's not that hard. We can kind of make it like it's a faraway thing. All we have to do is decide that we're going to deny ourselves for a period of time. And when we deny ourselves, say, for food, when we have the hunger pains, all we have to do is pray and call on the Lord. And what it does is it connects us spiritually, our spirit with his spirit, and then we hear clearly. That's exactly what was happening in this Antioch church. And the Antioch church, I just want to give you a little background on Antioch. It's the third largest city in the Roman Empire. It is a business center, a military center. It is a beautiful place. It is very diverse, and it's kind of like Las Vegas first century church style, because they also have some pagan idols, and they worship different people like Aphrodite and Venus. And it was a fertile ground for the church to be launched from. So first thing, when we need the Holy Spirit, we need to make sure we have worship that ensures preparation for the work, preparation to go out. Secondly, we need the Holy Spirit to direct our ministry efforts to assess strategic inspiration. Again, we need the Holy Spirit to direct our ministry efforts to assess strategic inspiration. Verses 4 and 5. The two of them sent the two of them, sent on their way by the Holy Spirit, went down to Seleucia and sailed from there to Cyprus. When they arrived in Salamis, they proclaimed the word of God in the Jewish synagogues. John was with them as their helper. See, the Antioch church leadership received guidance through worship. Prayer and fasting allowed them to see where they should go. After the Lord chose Barnabas and Saul, they went to Cyprus. And see, when you have the Holy Spirit just doesn't do work willy-nilly. Remember, this is the actual first time that the church at all has ever done any missionary journey. This is Paul or Saul and Barnabas' first missionary journey, but this is the first missionary journey of the church. So they didn't have a handbook. They didn't have best practices. But what the Holy Spirit did is said, I'm going to send you to Barnabas's old stumping ground because you're going to find people that know you. You're going to find people that will support you. You will find places to stay. You will have safety, and we will put you to work. And so the Holy Spirit gives us inspiration that gives us strategy to do this work well. And so the Holy Spirit sets them up for success. And today in missiology, we do have the standard practices to have some previous connection to the missionary field. But Barnabas and Saul did not. But the one thing we need beyond our manuals, our handbooks, our safety measures, we still need, just like they needed, the Holy Spirit. And so that comes from calling on his name and asking him to give us clarity for the work that we're called to do. So, Dr. Mackey in the Bible Project reminded us in the book of Acts, in fact, that this book, that Jesus and the Holy Spirit's activity in the Christian church is important. Professor Jennings says, to follow the Spirit is to follow Jesus. See, our work, if we're going to follow Jesus, when we follow Jesus, it's important that we consider and we ask for guidance. Consider specific times of prayer and reflection. Journal our thoughts. And when we call on his name, just sit. Believe. The Lord says, if you seek me, you will find me. So our work is just doing that work of seeking and finding. So, first thing we want to, do is ask the Holy Spirit to direct us for worship that ensures preparation. Our worship should prepare us to go out. Secondly, we want to access strategic inspiration. See, when we call on the Holy Spirit, it's to give us clarity on how we can do things well. Thirdly, is to navigate spiritual confrontations. There's no way to do this work without having a confrontation with Satan. As a matter of fact, the more effective you are, know that the more likely you're going to have a confrontation with the devil. And so this is where Saul kind of takes the lead. See, the Holy Spirit empowers us to confront challenges and opposition. And when opposition comes our way during our ministry or missionary work, do not be afraid to ask this one question. Could it be Satan? Do not be afraid to call on the Lord, to speak out against the one who's trying to oppose us. Are we dealing with the devil? And that may feel a little spooky, a little too far out, but do know we are dealing with spiritual warfare if we're going to do missions and do ministry. If we're going to love on people that don't look like us, if we're going to serve people that aren't in our realm, if we're going to love on a family member that's not easy to deal with, it's important to know that we need to know how to speak to the issue before us. Empowerment through the Spirit, Paul receives a filling of the Holy Spirit specifically to encounter the devil. Now, I don't suggest that you go out there and say, hey, you know, are you Satan? Devil, get out. No, we can pray quietly. We can pray for people lovingly. Now, every once in a while, the Lord may have you say that. Just make sure it's not you, because you don't like them. Make sure it's the Lord. And make sure which spirit is speaking to you. Okay? But do speak and pray with power to deal with these issues before us when the devil is trying to stop our work. In verse 6, they traveled through the whole island until they came to Paphos. There they met a Jewish sorcerer and false prophet named Bar-Jesus, who was the attendant of the proconsul Sergius Paulus. The proconsul was an intelligent man sent for Barnabas and Saul because he wanted to hear the word of God. Whenever someone wants to hear the word of God, expect that there's going to be some kind of blockage. And he was an intelligent man, but intelligent people can have the wrong people around them. Our work is to speak to them and to help when we can. So Paul's confrontation with Elymas was not merely a display of power. It was a display of faith in what the Lord had called him to do. It was a display of obedience to speak what the Holy Spirit had given him. Remember, the Holy Spirit had filled Paul to speak to the issue and to Elymas. Notice he called, the name that he starts with is Bar-Jesus. Then he calls him Elymas. Bar-Jesus means son of Jesus. Paul started calling him Elymas because he was a sorcerer. The thing is, then he started calling him the son of the devil because he was speaking truth about the man that was before him. He knew that he wasn't the son of Jesus, and Jesus was a normal name. It was pretty much like Mike or Bob today. But this is Will McCall speaking. In my mind, he's like, I don't like you saying your name is son of Jesus. So I'm going to call you who you really are. And some of the work we have today with some people in the church, some people in the community, some people out around us, is that we have to speak the truth to the issues of people being not nice, being rude, being especially representing Christ and not being like Christ. So he called him out of his name, or he called him son of the devil, which he was doing the work of the devil. So the reality that we have is that opposition is real. Opposition comes up. In the early 1900s, there was in Enterprise, Alabama, there was an issue with the boll weevil. The boll weevil was destroying cotton crops, destroying families, destroying their incomes, and they had to burn crops and lose money. They found after, what they did is they stopped planting cotton and started planting peanuts. And they found after 2 years that they made even more money than they did doing the boll weevil, doing cotton. And then they made a statue to the boll weevil to remind themselves that problems can bring out a hope. Problems can be turned into opportunities. And that's what I want us to remember for warfare, spiritual warfare. When we have to pray and deal with people and deal with issues, that those problems aren't just problems that are going to take over us, but the Holy Spirit gives us enough strength to overcome them and bring glory to God. So, just as long as we have the Holy Spirit leading us, we can face any spiritual battle and make that spiritual battle not only be a win for us, but a win for the people around us. Pray with boldness and rely on the Holy Spirit in times of challenge. And finally, I want to get to the experience, the last thing. So we need the Holy Spirit to direct our ministry efforts to experience God-ordained transformation, hope. When we end at this, the last verse, when the proconsul saw what had happened, he believed, for he was amazed at the teaching about the Lord. So notice, Paul prays that he strikes Elymas blind. First thing, even when we do what the Lord calls us to do, and when the Holy Spirit is leading us, remember, Paul was struck blind. So some believe that it was giving Elymas a chance to do what Paul did. When Paul was struck blind, he called out and he listened to the Lord. Elymas did not. But who did listen was a proconsul. And see, that work that we, when we are following the Holy Spirit, when we are serving and out doing the work of God, when we pray for people and when we stand up and do what's right, it may not be the person that we're going after. It may be the person watching. The proconsul, who is something similar to a governor, is a man of great authority and great influence. And so now, because of the problem that they ran into with Elymas, now they have the governor who is a supporter of the body of Christ. So now what happens is there's a God-ordained transformation in the proconsul's life, and so now he's a follower. Many of our theologians speak of how his whole family came to faith, and he influenced that whole area about faith, with the faith. But not only did he get ordained, Saul's name turned to Paul. From then on, he was called Paul because he was fulfilling his apostolic call. God ordained him right there and did the final ordination work. And now he's gone from Saul, who used to persecute Christians, to Paul, who's a promoter of Christ. He's a promoter of Christ with power. He's a promoter of Christ with apostolic authority. He's a promoter of Christ that will write more books than anybody else in the New Testament. See what we have when we follow the Holy Spirit, when we pray, when we do what God has called us to do, and when we go out and fulfill our call, if it is to the person in the bed next to us, down the hall, or across the world, it gives God a chance to use us for God-ordained transformation in somebody else's life. Amen? And so what I want to challenge you to do is not just hear this, because this is one of those sermons that's about going out there and doing it. Okay, I do missions work. This is what I love to do. I challenge you to go out and just do one thing with one group. We have 5 different churches we can do it with. We have several ministries that the church partners with. Or you may have someone. Or you just may have a neighbor that you need to speak to. Or a cousin. Or a parent. Or a coworker. Just pray. Go out there and speak to them lovingly. Ask the Lord to give you leadership, clarity on what you should do. And know that he will fill you with the Holy Ghost power to do what he's called you to do. Your job is not to give the seed increase. Your job is to sow seed. God gives it the increase. Amen? Thank you for listening, and let me close us in prayer. Lord God, I thank you for the work that you have given all of us to do. Thank you for the call. Thank you for your darling son, Jesus. Thank you for how we have an opportunity to join you in the work of furthering your kingdom and bringing benefit to your people and your creation. In your son Jesus' name we pray.
We hope you enjoyed this message, and we look forward to connecting with you in person soon. Each week we study God's Word together on Sundays at 8:15, 9:30, and 11 a.m. You can go to hbprez.org/Sundays to plan your next visit and stay updated on our current sermon series. God bless, and we'll see you next time.